see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. Yes, I'm your host. And I have some wonderful news. I reached the goal of getting the Apostle Paul investigation started. You can go to davidjamesboston.com, right on the front page. Just click on the picture and it will take you to the article. Where everything is. I haven't corrected the article as far as grammar things. It was a long article to write. It was a fight all the way. It was a fight. And I will be going through it and correcting everything I can. If there's, I tried to do it along the way, but you know, it doesn't matter how much you do. There's always some little thing. I think, you know, a few commas or something like that. But I wanted to get it out there, and it was strange things happened. Let's just put it that way. There's a big fight against this, but I don't think it's from the Father at all. You know, people, a fellow just wrote me, and he said that he had heard about this, you know, over time, like many have. But nobody, I don't think, really looked into it, just like I never really looked into it either. And you see, that's the problem. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is shame and folly unto him. And her too. So anyway, you know, this is a wonderful thing that we're doing together, and I really do believe that by doing this investigation, we will learn much more about the scriptures. This can only be good for us. Remember what I said. This is not an attack on Christianity. I am not attacking Christianity. Of course not. This is an attack on the attack on Christianity. And I really do believe that this is how we got to where we're at today in Christianity. This and taking the Father's name out just over 6,800 times. I do believe that it has weakened us. I do believe it has led us down wrong paths. And if we begin to correct these things, it won't take much time before. One fellow wrote me and he said, you know, I've been looking into this for about 5 years and I've known about it. And, you know, it's funny, you know, he said that the same thing I'm saying that about if there wasn't something wrong with the Apostle Paul, then why have so many Christians alerted to it. You know, maybe nobody wanted to listen. Maybe everybody was afraid. See, I'm not afraid. I'm cautious. I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want you to hate me and be my enemy and think that I'm trying to attack Christianity, because I'm certainly not. I guarantee that. And I am not and would not go against the Father by any means. You'd have to be a fool to do such a thing. But I will tell you that I was alerted to it. I had ignored it in the past. I'd heard about the naysayers about Paul and this and that. And I just, you know, I guess I poo-pooed it like people do. I'm no better than anybody else. But I will say that now that just in a small period of looking into it, my goodness, the thing really is, wow, that's all I can say. But it sure does show that today's Christianity and the Catholic entity and the world, they all think the Apostle Paul's gospel and the Apostle Paul's writings are the Bible. The rest of it they could throw in the trash. You know what I mean? And it's just the opposite for me. The rest of the scriptures are very important to me, and I could just throw the Apostle Paul's work into the trash. Isn't that interesting? But I'm telling you, if you pay attention, another brother wrote me today, and he said 80% of what they teach in the Judeo-Christian churches are from the writings of Paul. And that's what I'm talking about. See, most of the world, when they look at the Bible, they just look at the Apostle Paul. And believe me, that's not just by chance. It didn't just happen that way. This is an agenda. It was an agenda while the scriptures were underground, so to speak, and out of the peoples of the world, our hands. We didn't have the scriptures for a long time. People couldn't read, blah, 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 blah. Isn't that interesting? You know, I find that quite interesting that people couldn't read. And, you know, Rome and Greece and all these places, I mean, these places were intelligent. There were a lot of intelligent people there. Why wouldn't there be education? See, one of the things about education is that the devil, through science, see, it's this mind of science. That's why all these Freemasonry is a religion and a science. All of them are Christian science. Get it? It's a religion and a science. Well, you see, the world, through knowledge of the world or intellect, will help you to not believe in God. You say, what? Think about what I'm telling you. In other words, what is the science? What is a person of science? What is their main thing? The Pharisees were scientists as well. Well, what about them? Well, they didn't believe. They didn't have any faith. They wanted a sign. They wanted hardcore proof. Correct? Always looking for a sign. But he would not give it to them, except the sign of Jonas. Or Jonah. You see, the scientific mind, as the world becomes more educated, they're less able to believe in that the Father is there. Because I want you to prove it to me. And until I see it with my own eyes, I will not believe it. That's the training. And so it's kind of interesting that the world hadn't been trained, you know, at that time, because Rome was certainly big enough to have education. I guess, you know, if you're always at war, there's no need for education except in military aspects, I suppose. But, you know, this is just an interesting thing that I don't, you know. So the scriptures went underground is what I'm saying. And during that time, the devil and his minions and his children, et cetera, in his Babylonian institution, found a way to... You see, one of the things that was happening was this, the Apostle Paul's works weren't that interesting to the people. And there were people that were alerted to it back then. And it might not have made the scriptures, but the fellow Marcion, which we'll get to, he was dubbed a heretic by the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, but they liked, he promoted the Apostle Paul and these other things, and they saw what they could get away with by this Apostle Paul's gospel. It's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house by putting the Apostle Paul in. It talks about the appointed apostles. Well, there were appointed apostles that were appointed by the Father. But the Apostle Paul was not appointed by the Father or Jesus Christ when the Father was in the flesh. So this in itself is interesting. However, so go enjoy those recordings. Go enjoy the article I wrote. You know, I'll mention this one thing from the article. And it happened while I was writing the article. You always hear about the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well and this and that. And Jesus says to her, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. And it dawns, well, I hate to use the term dawns, but you know what I mean, that here we are again. I realize, oh, the children's bread. Well, who are the children of Yahweh? Who are the children? Who are the lost sheep of the house of Israel? You and I know this, but do the regular people that are in Judeo-Christianity and people like that know it? No, they don't. I don't mean regular, but you know what I mean, like people that don't know about that we are the true Israel of the Bible. So it's funny that he used the word children, because we are the offspring of Yahweh. So he came to redeem the offspring of Yahweh. And the children, I said, well, then who are the children? The Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Nordic, and Germanic peoples. That's who. So it's very exclusive. And I just think it's interesting that I didn't really catch the part about the children's bread. I mean, I've seen him say it, but it didn't really hit me the way it hit me this time. Oh, the children's bread. The children. The offspring of the Father. I hope you enjoy that as much as I did when I realized it. I mean, I don't know if you knew it or whatever, you might have, but it didn't hit me that way any other time I've read that. It just hit me that way this time, and I said, oh my goodness, now I see. So if you did, blessings to you. If you didn't, blessings to you. Now, I wanted to explain something to the Catholic people that listen to my show, if they do anymore. As I am exposing what the Catholic Church is and what it represents, that does not mean I hate Catholic people that don't know what is going on. I do not like the traitorous Catholic people that are in the, that are touching the children, that are in the Jesuits and all that kind of stuff. But the regular people like myself, I'm not a Catholic, but they're just regular people and they adhere to the Catholic institution. I do not hate you people. As a matter of fact, it is my prayer and my desire that you will leave the institution and stop worshiping the institution and stop worshiping man, and stop worshiping saints and Mary and statues, and begin to have a relationship with the Father in heaven before it's too late. Things are being manifested today that weren't known years ago. I mean, all you had was the Catholic Church years ago. So how could anyone know? And you didn't have the scriptures, so how would you know that it was a mixed priesthood? I'm sure there are people that knew it, but that's all I'm saying is that remember that they're all entwined with Freemasonry, which is the devil's church, and Catholicism is Babylonian and pagan, which Judaism is also pagan. So this is all Babylonian entwinement. They're all entwined together. They're all hooked up, linked, networked, however you want to put it. They're all together as Mystery Babylon. And you know, there's many other entities as well. So I wanted you people to know that because I'm trying to win you to the Father. I'm not trying to win you to me. I'm not trying to win you to the Apostle Paul. I'm trying to win you to the Father to help you to take the right step and move towards the narrow road that leads to eternal life rather than staying on the wide road that leads to destruction. Sooner or later, you know that what I've told you is true. And if you don't, then hate me. What can I do? But I will pray for you. And I do. It is my hope and prayer that you will leave that and that you will come to the Father and have a relationship with Him, read His Word, and forget about beads and Mary and all that stuff. You must understand, even as you hear me read from Maurice Pinet's book, they glorify the church, the Holy See. They glorify men in the church and say His Most Holiness and all these things, but they never glorify the Father. Well, Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned, they might call Him our Lord or something like that, you know, but you know what that means. So, rather glorify the Father in heaven than to glorify men or institutions. The Catholic Church will not live forever, ladies and gentlemen. And none of those saints and statues and Mary beads and all that stuff, none of them are going to live forever. The Father will. He's called the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor. Set your eyes on something more solid and more something that will last forever rather than setting your sights on something that glorifies itself. And in the process of, you see, the Catholic Church doesn't even understand the idea of, which is totally written right through the Bible, of is he that exalts himself shall be humbled. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Catholic Church exalts the church and exalts men and exalts people like the Apostle Paul. That's why it's being humbled. And you can't mix priesthoods. You can't mix pagan priesthoods with Christian priesthoods. You just can't do it. You do know that many of the higher-ups in the Catholic Church are also Freemasons. That's mixed priesthoods. That's triple mixed priesthoods. That's mixing the devil's church with the devil's church in the Babylonian church and just pretending it's Christian. You can't do that. You say, well, they did do it. Yeah, but you can't do it. And be accepted of the Father. You can't do it and expect Him to respect you or to you can't expect him not to look at it as an abomination. It is what it is. That is, it's an abomination. Period. They've changed the words. And they say that this pope, or all the popes, you heard what I read you last, Dictatus Pepe. The pope is Jesus Christ, equal with Jesus Christ on earth, according to the Catholic Church. There's no truth in that. But they believe that. And the people do treat it that way. They do treat the pope like he is the representation of Jesus Christ, equally the representation. In other words, he's God on earth. Again, man becoming God, which is the promise from the devil. And so I wanted to explain that to you. We're on page 201 in Maurice Pinet's book, and I'll start reading from here. Chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Then laid they their hands on him, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Just like a Jew, huh? Wants to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And after Peter had blamed Simon, the latter answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to," I'm going to say Jesus, "for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." This passage of the newer part of the Testament reports to us how the fifth column of falsely converted Jews arose, what their mode of thought was. Simon the magician is converted to Christianity and receives the water of baptism, but then, even in the bosom of the church, he strives to destroy it. Well, this is what the Jew does. And this is what the Apostle Paul did, as far as I'm concerned. These Jews, they can pretend, just like in the Judeo-Christian churches, they'll push you back, like, and you're supposed to just go back and submit and fall on the floor, and they pretend that they have these powers that they don't have. Sometimes the demons do the healings, as I explained to you before. But in the real church, the Father does the healings, and the people that have the Holy Ghost on them do the healings. But in a lot of these churches, it's a farce, like Benny Hinn and all this. Benny, get it? I believe he's a Palestinian Jew, by the way. Why would he be named Benny? Benjamin Hinn? Excuse me. I'm having a little sip of iced coffee. So, imagine that right away he hasn't even been in the bosom of the church long and he strives to destroy it and attempts nothing more or less than to buy the favor of the Holy Ghost. That's blasphemy. After the failure of his attempt in the face of the incorruptibility of the Apostle St. Peter, the supreme head of the church, see again, The church wants to glorify man, whether it's Paul or Peter, you see, the supreme head of the church. Well, isn't Jesus the supreme head of the church? Or is Peter the supreme head? Or is Paul the supreme head? You see what I'm saying, Catholic people? He pretends repentance in order afterwards to introduce the inner division of Christianity with the heretical schism of the Gnostics. Upon this is also on other occasion and also on other occasions in the Bible, the Holy Bible, raises its warning cry and shows us what would happen in the future. If the Jews belonging to the fifth column within the church and the clergy followed the example of Simon the Magician by being converted to Christianity in order to attempt to destroy it by means of simony, to divide it, again, divide, divide, divide. This is what the Jew does, right? To divide it through heretical teachings and then to strive to attain the highest honorary offices in the church by the most diverse means, including that of buying the favor of the Holy Ghost. As we will see later, listen to this, councils of the Holy Church occupied themselves with energetically suppressing the bishops who wished to buy a place by the means of money. And the Holy Inquisition confirmed that the clergy of Jewish origin were the most principal spreaders of simony and of false doctrine. So let's stop there and think about the Apostle Paul for a moment. What he just said here was that the clergy of Jewish origin were the most principal spreaders of simony and of false doctrine. Now, when you think of the Apostle Paul's doctrines, we have had people come, things that have come out of that doctrine like the rapture. And they divided the Christians and got them to argue, well, are you a post-tribulation rapture fellow, or do you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture? See, it's crapture. I'm serious, dead serious. This is division. This is what comes out of the Apostle Paul's things. And it says that people of clergy of Jewish origin, which I believe Paul is, I've changed my mind about whether he is a Jew or not. His father was a Pharisee as well. And I'm able to change my mind. Am I not? Is my mind locked? So a further classical example is revealed to us by the holy evangelists. It is said that the first Christian personage of Jewish origin who betrayed Christ and sells him to the Jews for 30 pieces of silver, and the latter was even more than a bishop or a cardinal, for he was one of the 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot, who had been chosen by Jesus himself to such high dignity. Let me just stop right there. I keep trying to explain this to people, and I'm sorry if I've explained it to you before and you already know. Yeshua picked a Jew to betray him. It shows that how much he loves his own children. He picked an Edomite Jew to be the one to betray him. Don't ever think for a moment that he didn't know who and what Judas Iscariot was. Remember, the devil entered into Judas Iscariot. And I don't believe that the father wanted the devil to enter into one of his own children. I don't think he wanted to sacrifice even one of his own children for these purposes. That's how much he loves us. So he put a Jew deliberately in that place. That's mercy, folks. And that's wisdom. And, you know, I'm sure there are people that said, geez, I can't believe Jesus got fooled. He brought that guy in and he betrayed him. Jesus, I don't think Jesus, how could Jesus be God and not know that this was going to happen? Duh. Ladies and gentlemen, when he let Cain walk away, he knew that in this time period, what was going to happen. You can be assured of that. That's why he didn't kill Cain. That's why he put a protection on Cain. He wanted to ensure that he could redeem his children. He didn't come to redeem dogs. He came to redeem his children. The dogs had not lost anything. The dogs were not in the garden. The dogs are not of the race of the people that are the father's offspring. Those are the people that lost fellowship with the Father, lost eternal life. I mean, they were already immortal, and lost Shekinah glory. Those things are, we have a portion of them, as I've told you before. We have a portion of all those things now. So don't think for a moment that Jesus didn't know what was going on with Judas Iscariot. It was, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he did not appoint the Apostle Paul, and neither did the apostles appoint the Apostle Paul. They replaced Judas with Matthias, and that's, I believe that's his name. And you see, that should tell you something. Of course, I guess that was before the Apostle Paul, in a sense, but there's just something wrong with that whole picture. Let's just put it that way. So, why did our divine Redeemer do such a thing as putting Judas Iscariot in this high dignity? I just explained to you why. Did he err when he made the choice and himself invested Judas with the highest dignity of the nascent church? Nascent church. After Jesus Christ himself? It is clear that Christ, because he is God himself, could never err. If he did such a thing, then it was only because it was convenient for him to do it, in order to let his holy church, you see, clearly recognize whence the greatest danger would come for its existence. In other words, he wished to warn it of the enemies who would appear among its own ranks, and especially in the highest hierarchies of the church, because if Judas arose among those chosen by himself, then it is obvious with all the more reason that they would appear among those appointed by Christ's successors. And that includes the Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen. The faithful should therefore never vex themselves about this, and still less lose their faith in the church, he says. See, they're not worried about you losing faith in the Father or Jesus Christ, Yeshua. They're worried about you losing faith in the church, you see. I'm just pointing out the jargon. I hope the Catholic people are listening. I hope you're understanding that what I tell you, I can see. You see, I'll explain this one more time. Is I've been able to read throughout my life, but there was a time I would read and really not understand what I was reading, in a sense. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I could understand certain things and this and that. But when I'm reading now, I'm understanding, for the most part, what I'm reading. It's a lot different than it used to be. So listen to this sentence. The faithful should therefore never vex themselves about this, and still less lose their faith in the church, when they learn through history of those cardinals and bishops who were heretics and schismatics and brought life, the life of the holy church, in danger. You see, cardinals and bishops, it's the same type of a thing. It's another of the ministries of the Father, in the sense of the apostle. So they would never admit to you that the Apostle Paul was one of these types of people. Because they don't really regard Jesus Christ and his gospel. They're more interested in his mother Mary, and they're more interested in worshiping men and the Holy Church. This is what's more important. And the Pope himself, Papa, you see? They're more into that. So, of course, they wouldn't know that the apostle, they're the ones that put it in there as far as I'm concerned. They're the ones that go by it as far as I'm concerned. They're ruled by the Apostle Paul's works. And it has caused and brought Christianity to its knees. The Apostle Paul's gospel has allowed the Jews to demonize us for being the children of the Father and saying that we're white supremacists because we don't want to include the rest of the world in our scriptures. You know, it's funny, if you think about that, any other religion can disinclude people, right? Even Freemasonry can keep people out of there that they don't wish to be in there. But if we don't want to include the whole world in our so-called religion, quote-unquote, then we're evil. You see, there's something wrong with that right there. Can you understand that, what I just said? That's amazing. And praise the Father. All glory to the Father. Think about what I just told you. I mean, the Knights Templars could be exclusive to their so-called religion. The Freemasons can be exclusive. The Jews can include who they will and who they won't. Right? They can say, well, your mother's not a Jew, so you're not a Jew, so we can't include you, and you can't be a citizen of this fake land that we've stolen, say the Jews, called Israel. So, in other words, you understand, it's not funny that they stole the land. It's funny that they try to get away with this nonsense, and that they have got away with it is amazing to me. But you see, it's just like the white race. We want to be exclusive and live by ourselves. Well, the world doesn't want that. The Jews don't want that. We want to, the Father wanted just us to have a covenant with him, and they don't like that. They want it to be with everybody. They want to include everybody. Everything the Father does, they do the opposite. So let me explain to you something that I was thinking about today really quickly. And that is this principle of as above, so below. This is one of the big things in Freemasonry and the occult and the Kabbalah and all these different things. But you see, that's stolen from the Father again, as it is in heaven as it is on earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Listen, on earth as it is in heaven. As it is above, so it is below. His will should be being done on this earth. Is his will being done on this earth? No. His will is being done in heaven, I can guarantee you that. But he's allowing all this. But it is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's as it is below, so it is above. That's the same thing. They just stole that. Wholesale, stole it. For thine is the kingdom and the power. See, his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You see? And when Jesus Christ wants to make the gospel exclusive to his own children, the Father's children, the Jews don't like that. They want to be included. And then once they're included, they want everybody to be included because they know the Father doesn't want that, you see? So his will is being done in heaven, but his will is not being done on earth as much as it should be. Let's just put it that way. If it was, we wouldn't be seeing the things we're seeing today. Because it's not the Father's will I mean, almost everything you see is not the Father's will. They were just talking about in Sweden how they're going to have more women as CEOs and so on. That's not the Father's will. I know that there's a lot of women out there that say, well, yeah, I want to, you know, equal pay. I want to be equal with man. I want to be God-like man. I want to, you know, I want to do all this stuff. I want to be man. I want to be in the position of man. Well, you're fighting for your rights, but you're kicking against the Father's will. I'm the only one that will tell you that, I think. Because everybody's so afraid of hurting everybody's feelings, you know what I mean? People have feelings. Well, you don't ever have to be afraid of hurting my feelings because I'm not ruled by my feelings. So let's continue. If we come back to Gnosticism, which was originated by the newly converted Jew, Simon the Magician, it is necessary to establish that many years later, Saint Irenaeus described Valentinus, a Jew from Alexandria, as the leader of the Gnostics. Remember, I believe that I've also read you the heresy of this fellow, Simon the Magician, the Magi. This fellow caused lots of problems in Rome. And I mean lots of problems. He is the originator of many evil things. J. Matter, the renowned historian of Gnosticism, reports to us that the leading Jewish personages, the Alexandrian philosophers Philo and Aristobulus, who were completely and utterly true to the religion of their fathers, resolved to deck themselves out with the remains of other systems and make a way clear to Jewry for enormous conquests. Both were also leaders of Gnosticism and Kabbalists. The said author explains that the Kabbalah predates Gnosticism, is a viewpoint that Christian writers little understand, but which of the scholars of Judaism profess with true certainty. They also assert that Gnosticism was not exactly a falling away from Christianity, but a combination of systems in which several Christian elements were taken up, just like the Catholic Church. You see, they're mixing Gnosticism with Christianity, is what he's saying. What does the Father say about mixing? See, you don't hear anything about the preachers of the world talking about mixing of seeds and mixing of animals and mixing of races and all these things, because their whole prime mover is the dollar bill. And you don't want to hurt too many people's feelings with preaching the truth to them, because they're liable to not donate to you or walk away from you or whatever it might be. The truth can be very hard, ladies and gentlemen, and the truth can be uncomfortable for some people. But don't let it bother you. And I'm not going to. The reason why I've probably lost many people is because of telling the truth. Yet I'm still going forward with this Apostle Paul thing, knowing what could happen. I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to do what I'm told to do. And I'm going to be a man. You see, I was told how everybody else that has told this truth has gone by the wayside. So if I was worried about that too much, I would never have done such a thing, right? But yet, maybe the people weren't ready at that point for this truth. And now they are. I must tell you that many people have responded positively. I have very little amount of comments or anything that have said anything bad. There's a fellow I know, and it wouldn't matter if the Father sent a letter to him endorsing me. He would think that I was a Jew or something like that. You know what I mean? This guy just thinks everybody's a Jew. I can understand that because the Jews are everywhere. But and the whole truth movement is practically Jews. So, I mean, I can understand it totally. But he's just over the top when it comes to this stuff. And yet I still try to be kind to him because I try to understand people. I mean, our brothers are having problems, some of them. Please pray for one of our brothers in Australia named Matt. His place burned to the ground, as far as I understand, or his farm burned. And it's a bad situation down there. Please pray for this brother, that the Father will restore him and restore his farm. In the mighty name of Yahweh, we all ask it. So, after diligent study of the material, the learned English writer Nesta H. Webster comes to the conclusion that the goal of Gnosticism was not to adapt the Kabbalah to Christian practice, but to adapt Christianity to the Kabbalist practices. I hope you're listening. By mixing its pure and simple teaching with the with theosophy and even with magic. Can you say Dennis Fecho? Did you know that Dennis Fecho is a race mixer? He's got a Filipino wife. Did you know that he believe that he's a teacher of the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah? Did you know that he that Andrew Carrington Hitchcock supports him financially? Did you know that right on Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's show, he talked about his Filipino wife, and he said that the story of Adam and Eve is a myth? Did you know that? Well, now you do. What should that tell you? Now, when you see a picture of Dennis Fecho, you know he's not a white man. I mean, it's clear as a bell. Can't exactly say what he is, but he's not a white man. So there you have it. So what we're telling you here is somebody's trying to mix Christianity with the Kabbalah. Interesting, huh? Just like we need another mixture of Christianity and some more evil, don't we? So, it says that this attempt to adapt Christianity according to Kabbalist practices, the Jewish Kabbalists have repeated as often as they could. After the Gnostic failure, they introduced it into the Manichaean sects, then into the Albigensians, the Rosicrucians, Freemasonry, Theosophical societies, spiritualists, and other sects of different eras, which are said to have practiced occultism, which is nothing other than the Jewish Kabbalah with all of its derivations. He used the word Hebrew. The Jews are not Hebrews. In his confirmation that Kabbalists found Gnosticism, the famous historian of Freemasonry, Ragon, reports that the Kabbalah is the key to the secret sciences. Sciences. Rosicrucianism is soul science. Freemasonry is religion and science together. Christian science. Get it? The Gnostics emanated from the Kabbalists. The Jewish Encyclopedia asserts that Gnosticism had a Jewish character before it was transformed into a Christian one. I hope you're listening. An interesting coincidence is the fact that the principal center of Gnosticism at the time of its apogee was Alexandria, which at the time was the most important center of Jewry outside Palestine. Until Saint Cyril, the bishop of said city, centuries later, gave his breeding ground of infection for Christianity a deadly blow by expelling the Jews from Alexandria. Ah, another Jewish exodus. Which brings a thought to my mind that I wanted to say to you that is very interesting if you would just contemplate this with me. We know that the Jews are not God's chosen people. I know that you know, and I know that I know. But let's just pretend they were God's chosen people. If they were the people that the Father would spread the Red Sea and divide it so that those people could walk through there, if this were the Jews that were these people, then why would they need to beg us to stop anti-Jewishism? Where is their faith in this God, supposedly, which Yahweh, we know that Yahweh did that for us, but they want to pretend that he did it for them. But they don't even love Yahweh. So in other words, if Yahweh could spread the sea so that we could walk through it, and the Jews are pretending they're us, where's their faith? Why don't they go to Yahweh and, their God is what I really mean, and it's not Yahweh. But, why don't they, where's their faith in their God is what I'm trying to point out. They have to come to the non-Jews, the Goyim, to stop anti-Jewishism? Why don't they go to their God? And if he can spread the sea out and he can do all those wonderful things, he can certainly stop anti-Jewishism, can't he? See, there's something wrong with the whole picture, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. They don't have any faith in God. They don't even like Yahweh. They do everything the opposite of the Father. Whatever his will is, they're anti that. That's why they're the Antichrist. You see, the whole world even used that kind of stuff to try to create this Antichrist because they didn't want you to know that the Jew Antichrists have always been with us. They were there at the time of Jesus. They were there when the Apostle John was writing his writings. He said so. They wanted you to think that the Antichrist was a singular being rather than, even some of our own people are Antichrist. So it's a multiple thing. It's not a singular thing. So they always like to create the exact opposite. So in other words, if Jesus came, there has to be this other, But anyway, let's finish this off. So he expelled the Jews from Alexandria. The evidence of the church fathers, see, again, not supposed to be calling anybody father. The scriptures tell you not to do that, but they don't listen to Jesus Christ. They listen to Paul. The evidence of the church fathers completes the total picture of proofs which we have laid before the reader in order to show that Gnosticism was the work of Jewry, for they name several of the leaders of the Gnostic schools as Jews. I hope you're listening. On the other hand, the Jewish Castilian Encyclopedia indicates that the fact that the original Gnosticism, both the Christian as well as the Jewish, used Hebrew names, now it's our names, you see, because the Jews aren't Hebrews, in its system, and that it even based its opposition upon biblical ideas, points to its Jewish origin. It says in addition that it influenced the later development of the Kabbalah. After it is proved that Gnosticism is of Jewish origin and was directed by the Jews, of whom some had infiltrated into Christianity through baptism, we will see what its extent has been in the Christian world. The most dangerous thing about Gnosticism is its appearance as a science, Christian science. For it is necessary to establish that the word Gnosticism means science, knowledge. You getting it? As one, so that would be Christian Gnosticism. Christian science would be Christian Gnosticism. Are we getting a better understanding now, ladies and gentlemen? As one sees the system of the Jew Karl Marx and other Jews attempt to dress its false and destructive teachings with a scientific exterior is not new. Let me stop right there and comment. Remember I told you that communism was not going to fly if they didn't have the theory of evolution, which is Darwinism. That's the science, and the communism would be the so-called religion, even though it's anti-everything, anti-Christianity or whatever. So listen again what he's saying here. See, what is the scientific exterior of Marxism? Well, it's Darwinism. That's the science behind it. In other words, there's no point in worshiping a god because they don't worship God in communism. And the proof not to worship that god is that we came from monkeys. That's how simple it is, ladies and gentlemen. I just simplified it and took it right down to its base core. They always have the religion and the science together, these devil's religions. So, as one sees the system of the Jew Karl Marx and other Jews to attempt to dress its false and destructive teachings with a scientific exterior is not new. In order to set the unsuspecting in astonishment and to capture them, for almost 2,000 years ago, their predecessors, the Gnostics, did the same with very good results. One thus sees that also in this respect, the Jewish tactics are always the same. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I have spent a good deal of time learning what the Jewish tactics are. In other words, you learn what their patterns are because they're always the same. As the snake slides over the desert sand, it makes the same tracks. It doesn't change its tracks, really. It may change position, but the tracks are the same. So if I see those same patterns in the Apostle Paul's gospel, and I call it gospel now, I put an extra L at the end, Paul's gospel, because it has put a spell on the world. If I see that in his writings, it tells me things. So, in addition, they had no kind of scruples about introducing into Gnosticism ideas of Persian dualism, and above all the Hellenistic culture, in which the Jews of Alexandria, who have been the decisive factor in the spreading of Gnosticism, were educated. It is necessary to recall that also in this respect, the Jewish tactics have not altered, for they introduced into the teachings customs and symbols of Freemasonry, as well as Kabbalist and Jewish elements. Remember that Albert Pike says that Freemasonry is the Kabbalah. Well, I'll finish this paragraph. So their tactics have not altered, for they introduced into the teachings customs and symbols of Freemasonry, as well as the Kabbalist and Jewish elements of Greco-Roman and Egyptian Oriental origin, in order to deceive Christians concerning the real origin of the Brotherhood. You know, at the end of the Rabbit Hole radio show, I always give a good piece of advice. And that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Of time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yet just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lives that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face.